Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from New Orleans, Louisiana. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you, Lord, just to give you thanks for this prayer line once again. Thanking you, Father, for the brothers and sisters that will join us in this prayer on this prayer line. And we also thanking you for your Son, the Holy Spirit. We thanking you, Lord, for your word. We asking that you send your Holy Spirit upon us tonight, that we can receive your blessings, the word of God. And Lord, blessing us with wisdom and understanding. Oh, Father, we give you thanks for your holy word. And not only that, Father, for your people that you say is the church that love Christ and want to see him come again. So now, Father, as you bless each and every one of us, we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us, and let your word be the blessing that we receive tonight, and each and every one that come on here, that they may share and give testimony of what God has done for them. So bless each one. And, Father, we also pray for our brothers and sisters that are far off from other countries, Lord, and you know them. So, Lord, we ask that you even touch their heart while they listen here on Advent Light Ministry. And I'm asking, dear Jesus, to please strengthen the countries, bless them with food, finance, be with them and take care of them in every way. So now, Lord, we want to give you thanks and praise for this prayer line. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We have few. Where there's two or three, the Bible says he's in the midst. So we're going to read Last Day Event, and it's coming from the board today. It says, the more closely connected man is with the source of all knowledge and wisdom, the more he will feel that he must advance in intelligence and spiritual attainment. The opening of God's word is always followed by the remarkable opening and strengthening of man's faculties. For the interest of his word given light by of great truth, the mind is elevated and the affection of purified and refined. For the Spirit of God through the truth of God quickens the lifeless spiritual faculty and attracted the soul heavenward. Then take your Bible and present yourselves before your Heavenly Father, saying, enlighten me, teach me what is true. The Lord will regard your prayer, and the Holy Spirit will impress the truth upon your soul. In searching the scriptures for yourself, you will become established in the faith. It is of the greatest importance that you continue to search the scriptures, storing the mind with the truth of God. You may be separated from the companionship of Christians and place where you will not have privilege of meeting with the children of God. You need the treasure of God's word hidden in your heart. That when opposition comes upon you, you may bring everything to meet the test of the scriptures. So I want to give thanks to God as we read last day event. And brothers and sisters, we will begin to open the line as you all may press 1 and share your testimonies, prayer requests, songs, scriptures, whatever the Lord put upon your heart to give him glory. And I just want to thank you for joining us on the prayer line. May God be with each and every one of us tonight. Amen. And I will be opening the line for my brothers and sisters. And I would kindly ask my brothers and sisters to be 3 minutes, 4 minutes, because we want to be able to open the line for Brother Cherry tonight for 8 o'clock. And then we're going to begin prayer about 10 minutes till. So because, you know, when he have this information he needs to bring, and he needs time, and he wants to be finished by 8 o'clock. So let us be, prayerful and, you know, and to glorify God by spending the right time. Amen. Giving your testimony. So let us open the line for the first caller and the first hand that's raised. 518-951, your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Okay, good. Good night. You hearing me, Sister Leola?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you.
Good night. Okay. Yeah, thank you for opening my line, my dear. This is Sister Paul. Sister Leola, I really thank God for what God has been doing this reading, and also with the line and the minutes that each individual have. We don't want make it look like, you know, we don't want the individual them to speak and share. But we thank God because, you know what, we have a set time and we also have a full house. And it really look hard when someone may come on the line and spend half hour on the line. And then when the other's ready to speak, you know, we give them 1 or 2 minutes. So I thank God for that, you know, plan that let us all work together, my dear beloved, share together so that everyone can express their blessing that God has given unto them. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So that's wonderful. Yes, my dear beloved, I will just sing this little song. There's a land that is farther than thee. There is a land that is fairer than thee, and by faith we can see it afar. For the fathers wait over the way, to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessing that all our days. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we are hoping and praying that one day when he shall come, we all will meet him. And just not only meet him, to look upon his face and to see the joy, the light, and to see our Father just looking upon us. And all we can say, thank you, Jesus, you have allowed us to make it. Continue to pray for us, my dear. This is Sister Paul, and I will pray for you. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my life.
Amen. Thank you. And yes, by God's grace, we're going to meet on that beautiful shore. And I sure want to be there, and I want to be able to see all my brothers and sisters. So God be the glory. So thank you, Sister Powell, for coming and sharing that sweet, sweet song. Amen. And we're going to go to the next, that pressed one. And sisters and brothers, I will get to you as soon as possible. And we're going to have another song by Sister Tamiko. But first, we open this number, 985-870. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Palma, Louisiana. Just would like to thank God for another day and waking us up this morning. I thank God for Sister Powell giving that beautiful song and testimony. And thank God for Sister Leola and all the rest of our hosts on this line, with they were giving all these testimonies and all the praises and helping on this line. And what a wonderful crew we have on this prayer line. God is thankful for all of us. And I'm just thankful for being here. I want to read 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then we will hear from heaven and we'll forgive their sins and we'll heal their land. Lord have mercy. Oh, will we all come in and get on that battlefield and listen what God's saying All God wants us to do is say the word, and he would heal us. And God knows. I want to be on that battlefield because I know what he have done for me. So when I'm on that battlefield and he want us to do this, we have to get ready to get on this battlefield. I just thank God. And this day, I can't say too much of thanking because of what I look back on. And I thank God because things have been rough. This longevity of bronchitis and still not over. But God is good. He's seen everything before I even knew and the doctor knew. And I tell you, he had my back. It was a long journey. But thank you, Lord, for being here. And I just ask for prayer for me and my family and all my dear-like prayer family. And just ask y'all to keep me on the board. And may God just bless me. Let me see if Brother John will speak. Amen.
Yeah. Hello, this is Brother John. I'm Louise Allen. Everyone's having a blessed day today. And we should, like, give thanks again for this prayer line. Everyone on it, the listeners, the talkers, the teachers, and learners, all of us. And we'll give God the praise, as always. And just want to say, keep believing, keep being strong in the word of God and having the faith in everything. Yep, I won't say too much, but I just wanted to share, you know, that God is a good God. And I just something I believe there's, like, no certain way to peace. I wanted to say that peace is the way. So God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. That's Sister Brenda and Brother John. One that been, they was the ones added to the prayer line during the time that this line was pretty new. And Brother John and Sister Brenda was consistent, and they end up getting back. So we give God thanks. And God allowed some things to happen. But God brought Brother John through. He brought Sister Brenda through. They, you know, it just was a blessing to see how God worked in the lives of people. So, but now, brothers, sisters, I want to thank the Lord for Brother and Sister Brenda's testimony and for them coming on to share. And then we also have Brother Cherry on here, brothers and sisters. You know he brought us a powerful message, and we know the message will continue because he has so much more to bring. So I won't try to be too long, so I'm going to go ahead and open the next line for my next brother or sister that pressed one. So let us open this line. So we thank everyone for coming and sharing. So let us open this line. Amen. We're going to open, let's see, 843-206. Are you ready? Are you ready to share? Are you ready to give your song? You ready to share? Are you ready to share? I don't see that she took her hand off the line, so let us see if she's ready to share. 843-206.
Amen.
Are you ready to
can
share?
Hear,
amen.
Yes,
yes,
amen.
Can you hear me? Oh,
yes, praise
I
the
can.
Lord. I was in trouble with my phone. So sorry. Amen. Hello, everyone. This is Sister Tymeco from Florida. I'm just giving the Lord praise and thanks and honor because he's so worthy to be praised. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I thank him for a beautiful Sabbath. I thank him for waking us up this morning in our right minds. And I thank you so much for letting me participate on the prayer line. So thank you so much. Love you all. And I'll be singing a song called Power in the Blood. Amen. Amen. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you all evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power. power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Come to a cleansing to Calvary's side. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Ms. Leola. I do have a scripture to read, but if there's others on the line, I can read it later, if that's okay.
Okay, you can read the scripture, Sister Tamika. You can go ahead and read the scripture.
Oh, okay, thank you. Amen. And this is one of my favorite scriptures taken from Psalms 121, verses 1 through 8. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved.
Okay, Sister Tamika's phone has dropped. And sisters and brothers, I want to thank in the blood. There is power in the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. And we have no one has pressed one as of yet. But at this moment, I want to read just a paragraph here from Great Controversy until I see someone else. And at 7:45, we're going to go into prayers, brothers and sisters. But I would like to share this reading here. And it says, I'm reading from Great Controversy. Have you ever read Impending Conflict? This is a deep part of the Great Controversy. And I'm going to read it. And it says, and then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing clashes that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their trouble upon those who obedient to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared that men are offering God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this climate, which will not cease until Sunday observance, shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, this destroying reverence for Sunday, or the trouble of the people, perverting their restoration to the divine favor and temporal prosperity. Thus, the accusation urged of all against the servants of God will be repeated, and upon grounds, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And thou hast followed Balaam. And that's in 1 Kings 18:17-18. As
the wrath of the people shall be excited by false charges. They will pursue a course towards God's ambassadors, very similar to that which apostate Israel pursued towards Elijah. And I'm going to stop there. And brothers and sisters, as I to read that, because that goes along with last day event. So let us get back to the board and see if there's anyone else that has pressed one. And I just wanted to comment on this this little paragraph, and I'm just giving you my testimony. I was out just going to the store, and I saw this gentleman, and I say, "Sir," I say, "How are you doing?" And he said, "All righty." I say, "Are you a pastor?" He said, "No." He said, "Do I have to pastor a church to be a pastor?" And I didn't answer, but he answered. And so as he was answering that, I said, "Well, I just wanted to share something with you." And I gave him that seven-day Sabbath, and it's a calendar, and it shows all the weeks of the Sabbath is the seventh day. And when he looked at that, and he says, he quoted Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So you can worship God. He said, your faith could be any day you can worship God. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, well, sir, I would like to share another book with you. I said, I just want you to read this book and pray. I'm praying that you read it and God bless you with understanding. So I gave him the book, The Sunday Law. And as he looked at it, I saw him reading. He looked at the book. And he said, "Okay, I will read this." And I said, "Well, praise God." And I just left him at that because it kind of gave me a chill to hear him speak of Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And I say, "Lord Jesus, you know, if you have this man looked to be at least 70 years old, and he say he's a pastor." And for this, and he tell me, he say, "Well, if you read your Bible, you'll know." And I say, "Lord Jesus," and it gave me chills, my brothers and sisters, that this man telling me this, my Bible, I'll know the word. So he say he reads his Bible. So I just said, you know, hand that to him and say, you know, "Thank you for accepting it." So brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, a work need to be done, handing out stuff, giving people things, and letting them read for themselves. Because I'm telling you, it just gave me, I told my husband, it gave me like a chill, or I just couldn't say nothing. I was just stunned that this man give me such an answer. What can you say? I said, you know what? I'm not saying nothing but just give him the word and let God impress upon his heart by God's grace. So my brothers and sisters, I'm going to go back to, I'm looking at the board. There's no one has pressed one as of yet, but I asking that we're going to go into prayer at 7:45, and I'm going to continue to read because there's no one has pressed one yet. But I tell you what, let us open the line for, let me ask my brothers and sisters first. Is there anyone else would like to share or give a testimony? We're asking you to press one. We do have a few on here that didn't press one. If you like to share, if you like to give a testimony or a song, if you like, we're going to give you the opportunity to share what you like to share. Amen? Okay, there's no one. So I'm going to ask Sister Powell to offer up a prayer right now, if she can. Let us ask her to offer up a prayer, because I will give a prayer later. So Sister Powell, I would mind ask you if you can offer up a prayer for us now.
Yes, but Sister Jones is here. I have a prayer for you, right?
Okay.
So you will hear, okay, Sister Amen. Jones, and after Sister Jones, I will do the prayer.
Okay, that is good. That's good.
Right, here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Once at a room beside the highway begin, his eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bid his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, our cares are wiped away. He takes the gloom and be. The tears away.
Amen. Amen. When Jesus come, my dear, we are expecting him to wipe all the tears away. There, as the songwriter said, there will be no tears. There will be only joy, peace, and happiness. So, my dear beloved, as we gather here and listen to these wonderful promises in songs, we listen to the wonderful promises in testimony, in reading the word. We listen to the great controversy that Satan has been doing for so many years and still on his work doing it, my dear beloved. We listen and we know and we are learning that the Sabbath will be a test.
Yes,
and this Sabbath we have to carry the message out there to the world as what Sister Leola is doing. So God is good. God is great. He is worthy to be praised. Let us pray. Most righteous and eternal Father, we, your children, come before you, Lord, thanking you that you have allowed us to know who you are, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who went on Calvary cross and suffered his blood for us, and we know that the life is in the blood. So he gave up all for his children from the north, the south, the west, and the east, Lord. And this evening we are praising you and we are asking you, Lord, to continue to strengthen us, Lord. You told us in your word that you are our burden bearer. You are our healer. You are our sympathizing Jesus. You are our provider. You are our sustainer, and you are our prayer answering God, that despite of what is happening in our life, we have a living God that we can present our case to and have faith and believe that he hears us. And when we saw the answer, Lord, we just want to say thank you. The peace that you have given unto us, a peace that standeth, Lord, a peace that we can say only you can give us, that joy, that peace, that happiness within us, so that our life will not be empty. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mission that you have given unto your people to go present the truth out there and to let people know that one day soon and very soon your coming is near and that you are coming for a prepared people. Heavenly Father, help us to be prepared. Help us to be ready. Help us to be obedient and help us to be true. So this evening, we present all our brothers and sisters on the line. You know, Sister Leola, who will be the host, Brother Terry, who will be bringing the second part of the message that he had presented last week. Powerful message. And dear Lord, we are asking for the truth because you said, I wish above all things that we prosper, and you want us to be in good health, and you love to hear the truth. And the truth is the message, your coming is near.
Your truth is for us to be like you, Christ, character and righteousness by faith. These are the truth, and without these to represent you, Lord, we are doing nothing. So this evening, your children call upon you. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us of all our many sins and allow your blessings to be seen. And there are words in our mouth that you said you will give us the word to speak when we go on the field, because the battle is out there. It's rough, Lord, rugged, Lord, but you will pathways straighten so that your word will go out like wildfire to touch the heart of your people out there, because you wish all of us would be saved. You do not come here for us to be lost. So, Lord, we just want to thank you. Bless us to you all again. Brother John, Sister Brendan family, the children, Sister Tamika and family, Lord, siblings, Mother Dorothy, and all her siblings and grandchildren, Sister Stephanie, her children and family, Sister Carla, family, children, Amanda and Nicholas, Brother Elder Richardson, Sister Richardson and family, children and grandchildren, community, Barstow boy, there so much, Sister Brenda and Brother John, Sister Leola, Brother Ray and his family, his work family, the children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, the precious joy, Bungra joy that you gave us a week and a half ago, Lord. We just want to thank you. You took one soul and you gave us back one special, precious one. Lord, we just want to thank you for every one of us. Help us, Lord. And the message that will be coming down from heaven, allow us, Lord, to receive it, accept it, and go and share it with others. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you for the project that you have been doing. And good news today, we heard from our baby Alex, Lord, and Father Z is preparing to travel to the United States. We are asking you, Lord, to allow that light that you have given unto him. He have demonstrated it in the community. The enemy tried to keep him down, but by the name of Jesus, I am asking you to surround that young man and let him look upon what you have given him, that blueprint, as an 18-year-old. So I present him to you again tonight. Bless us, Lord, we pray. And as we linger a little longer to listen to the message, pour your Holy Spirit upon your children, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Power. I want to thank the sister that sung that little song and just give God praise. Thank you so much, my sister, and we thank Mama Powell for all the prayers that she lift up for all saints, and God bless. Oh, thank you. Now, Sister Powell, we're going to go to the next caller. We have 518-650, and we asking if we can please be brief, because the minister will start asking. We got two more hands up. Amen? Amen. Your line is open, 518-650.
Yes, good evening. I just thank you for opening my line. Every time you open my line, you're talking about brief. I will be brief. I just want to say thank God I'm alive.
Amen.
Thank God I'm alive. There's another. It is another day. God has kept me. I can walk, I can talk, I can do what I have to do, and I can give him all the praise that is due unto his holy name. So all I want to say, continue to pray for me. God is good to me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby. I didn't know that was you. Thank you, Sister Barnaby. I thought it was Brother O'Neill. But sometimes the numbers are the same, and I just was assuming that was Brother O'Neill line. But I'm asking everyone to be brief right now, because the time is very near, and that the minister, you know, he needs time. So let us open this next line to give him some minutes to say something. By God's grace, 518-744. Your line is open. I know you want to bless God with some words. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. I'm just praising the Lord for another day. And he has kept us through all the things that are going on around us, brothers and sisters. And man, I just, every time you hear something on the news, something else is going wrong. Somebody else is being murdered or kidnapped. Just so many things going on. And we've been doing a lot of studying in the great controversy, and I've been reading a lot of other material too this weekend, studying about the mark of the beast and the loud cry, all these different things that are important for our time. And God is so good. He has given us great light into these things. And I'm just was amazed at listening to what other denominations believe, brothers and sisters. They do not have even close to the light that we have, and we must make our best use of that light at this time. So just praising God. And Sister Powell was praying, you know, she was saying that, you know, we must get out there and spread that good news, and let us take heed to that call, to that warning, that we must get out there and spread that good news to those people that are out there that are dying. Without that news, they will die in their sins. They will be lost eternally, and we do not want that on their heads. So let us be faithful. Please pray for my family, children, my grandchildren, my wife, especially Ashley. Please pray for her. And my grandson, Alex, he is 11 years old, and he has got a bad case of pneumonia. I believe it's probably from pollen. He lives down near D.C., and the trees are full of pollen down there right now, and he is a sick young man, so please pray for Alex. I appreciate it. And thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line and just praising the Lord again. He is so good. He is faithful even when we are not. Let us be faithful. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, boy. Sister Powell, can you hear me?
No, I'm hearing you, Sister Leola. You hearing me?
I can hear you, Brother Cherry had called me. And let me see. Let me see something. He is telling me he can't. His phone is not working, so let me see something. Let me.
Well, right now, my one, because I can't get on you. On the I'm trying, I can't get on the Black Talk. So now you
well,
are
you
on this line. Yeah.
No, you on Black Talk. I'm hearing you. Let me let me ask. Brother Terry, can you hear me?
Yes. But
okay, everybody calling me. Okay.
I think I'm on a different line, though.
Mm-hmm. No, you. This is Brother Terry I'm talking to?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you on. So hold on. I'm going to open the line. Everybody calling me because there's a problem. So just give me a second.
Okay.
Okay. But you're on, Brother Terry. Sister Power, close out the prayer for me, Sister Power, because I'm getting other calls, please.
Okay.
And
all right.
We're
let's
gonna open Brother Terry, and then you can tell Brother Terry he can speak. Okay. Go ahead, Sister Power.
Okay. Kind and loving, righteous Father, we come once more again. Let's pray, my dear beloved. We want to thank you, Father, again. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who stepped in, Lord, because we know that we have a problem on this line, but you can you solve the problem. So we want to thank you. Brother Terry is on the line. We ask you to cover him as he presents the word, and also Sister Leo, getting back to their brothers and sister, dear Father, this evening, we just give you the praise. All things work together for good to them that love you, and we love you because we want to hear your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Brother Terry, the floor is you. Belongs to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sister. Praise the Lord, we got that technicality fixed. Let me just adjust my stage here so I can see, turn my light on in the room here. It's starting to get dark. Well, are people on the line now? Is everybody able to hear me?
I hearing you, Sister Leola, seems like she's going to call back the people and to let them know that it is straight, the line is straight now, so right now I don't, you know, I know that I am here. I couldn't be on the, a while ago I was trying, but Sister Leola said I am on the line.
Okay.
Sister Leola,
all right. I'm here now. I'm here now. Brother
okay.
Terry, you can go ahead and speak. I'm here now. I dropped.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, praise the Lord. All right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, to God be the glory, I want to thank those who sang, those who prayed, those who read scripture, and those who shared their testimonies. It was a blessing for me to hear. It's wonderful to hear God's people share the blessings that they have received from him, and, you know, to just encourage one another. The Bible says we need to do this more and more as we come to that day. I want to share some things tonight. I started out with you last week. I'm not quite sure where I left off, because since then I've spoken two more times to other places, and I lose track of who I said, what I said to who. So if I say anything that I mentioned last time, just think of it as a refresher, and then we'll move on. I do have a lot, so I'm not going to elaborate a whole lot on things. I'm just going to mention some things, and I would like to encourage you, if I give you a reference, just go back and validate it yourself. And if I don't give a reference, you can kindly ask for it, and I'll be happy to give it to you, tell you where you can find the information, okay? But I'll endeavor to give you reference for everything that I'm talking about, so you'll be able to go back and see it for yourself. I think it's very important that we do that. Excuse me. I wanted to say to the sister who has bronchitis, I believe it was, and someone else said they might have pneumonia, there is something you can use that is very helpful, and you probably know about it, but I'm just going to mention it anyway, just in case you haven't, and that is mullein leaf. Mullein leaf, mullein is a plant that grows almost virtually everywhere in the United States, usually in kind of swampy areas, and they used to call it Indian toilet paper because it's really soft, and it's really nice, it's really interesting. But it makes a wonderful tea, and you can use it in two ways. You can either make a tea and drink it, because it breaks up mucus in your body. And if you have respiratory issues, and usually bronchitis and pneumonia like that, it's a lot of mucus in you, and of course that gets infected. It helps to expel. It will make you cough it up. Another thing to use is these berries, what do they call them? I forgot the name all of a sudden. It's little black berries that are excellent. I forgot the name all of a sudden. It'll come to me in a minute. They make an excellent tea. And some people make jam out of them. And what you can do also with the mullein and oregano oil is put it in a big pan or pot of water. Excuse me. And you boil it, boil the water. You can put the oregano, or you just buy oregano oil and mullein leaf oil. And you can even drink the mullein. You drink the oregano too if you want. You can drink it. And you steam yourself. And just put your head over the steam, but, you know, don't get too close to it. But you want it hot. You don't want it cold. You want to make it and you breathe deep. You have to breathe deep and just do that for about 4 or 5 minutes. Take a break, or as long as you can stand it, then step away, get some fresh air, go back and do it again, step away and do it again. And after a while, you will notice all of a sudden you're going to start coughing and phlegm is going to start coming up out of you. And if it's in your nasal passages, stuff's going to come out of your nasal that you won't believe. And out of your body, your lungs, you're going to be shocked at what you see. You're going to say, this was in me, you know, but it's going to clear you out. And believe me, it works. I had COVID, and someone told me about that. And plus, my mother used to teach us that when I was growing up. And we were not raised Adventists, but my grandmother used to teach my mother how to use natural things. And my grandmother was a Baptist. But she knew how to use natural things because her mother was Apache Indian. My great-grandmother was pure Apache, 100% Apache Indian. She always used natural things. I used to go to Lubbock to visit my great-grandmother. And so that's how it was passed down in our family. So when I heard about natural things, it wasn't a surprise to me. I said, well, that's what my parents always did. My mother always did. You know, don't go to the doctor. You don't need to go to the doctor. You can do things naturally. And it worked. I got over the COVID. And quickly, too, as a matter of fact, of course, vitamin C is very important, and vitamin D, getting sunlight, is also important. But for the pulmonary issues that you mentioned earlier, just remember those two things that I talked about, which is oregano and the mullein. It works very well. You can buy a mullein tincture, and you can put that in water, or, like I said, you can steam it, and it gets in your system. So try those. You know, see how it works for you if you'd like to, and the Lord will bless, I'm sure. All right, brothers and sisters, let me say, I'd like to have a short prayer before I actually get into the study. I want to give a little medical missionary little tidbit right there real quick. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to share with your people this evening, Lord, my brothers and sisters. And though I've never met them face-to-face, Lord, I feel a kindred spirit, and I thank you for the opportunity to share this evening. Lord, I pray that you would please come into the midst of us now. And may the Holy Spirit be our teacher and lead and guide us into all truth. I pray, Lord, that we will have confessed our sins before you, that we might hear your voice speak to us, and that our hearts might be receptive to your voice, not mine, and hear what you have to say to us. And may we, Lord, also not only hear, but understand and accept and do your good will. This I ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake only. Amen. Okay, friends, I want to read a verse of Scripture to start off with that we're all familiar with, and I just wanted to start with this. And the title of the message tonight is With a Made-Up Mind, and we all need to make up our mind. We need to make up our mind. This is important. Reading from Philippians chapter 2 and starting with verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm going to stop there because there's more to this, but I'm going to stop there. That last sentence, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus had a mindset. He made up his mind that even though he was equal with God the Father, he humbled himself, he lowered himself to the status of a human being and became a servant. He not only was he human, he became a servant. And not only that, he became obedient even unto death. In other words, he chose not to disobey God, and even the death of a cross. Many people do not understand what that verse is saying, that he was obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. When we understand what it meant to be crucified on a cross in those days, and even before then, this goes all the way back to ancient Babylon, that you were being offered as an offering to the sun god when they put you on a cross. You were called a crucifer, and the cross represented the letter Tau, T-A-U, which also represented the number 6, which is the number of the serpent or the snake or the devil himself. And so the sun symbolism was used from ancient times to represent satanic worship. And people that were hung there were being offered to the sun god as sacrifices to him. It was the most humiliating form of death that you could have, that you could go under. They tortured you first. They humiliated you. They hung you there with no clothes on. They didn't have a towel wrapped around their waist like they show you in these pictures. That is not how they did it. You hung there completely nude. And anybody could walk by, male, female, whatever, children, and they would mock you. They would throw things at you. They spit on you. You know, they would, you know, hurt, cause themselves to cough up mucus and spit it on you. They could do whatever they wanted. They could take dung and throw it at you, you know, because you were less than the worst thing on the earth. You were just the excrement of the earth. And so when Jesus humbled himself even to the death of the cross, brothers and sisters, we have to understand what great love he has for you and I. I ask you this question today. How many of you would be willing to die for your worst enemy, the worst death you could possibly face, to try and save them? And they stand there and mock you and ridicule you and curse you and call you all manner of wicked names and jeer at you and laugh and point their fingers. Look at that. How many of you would want to do that? And be willing to say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I love them still, regardless of all they've done to me. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be very honest with you, I can't do that. I haven't reached that point. My mindset is not there yet. I'm asking the Lord to help me. When I saw things like what happened here in Wisconsin just this past week, a 19-year-old girl met a guy online, and she went to have a date with him, and he took her on a date, and he took her to a park, and he killed her. And he mutilated her body, and this guy was 33 years old, and she was only 19. And when I saw that, and they showed the picture of her, and they showed the picture of him, I got very angry. I got very, very angry, because this isn't the first time this has happened here in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm going to be very frank with you. The man who did it was a Caucasian man. And he had all these tattoos on his body. And if she had looked at the tattoos, she would have known she should have nothing to do with him. His tattoos were all of this white supremacist stuff. He did that on purpose. He killed her, pretending like he wanted to go out on a date with her. And, you know, me being an African-American man, my first reaction was, I wish I could get that guy. He needs to burn for this. I have three daughters. And if somebody did that to one of my daughters, may God help you. I just say it. I'm just going to be very frank with you. May God help you, because I couldn't stand there and just say, oh, well, we'll let the police handle it. Because you know what they're going to do? He's going to get off, just like the guy that killed these people here in Wisconsin a few years ago with his automatic weapon. He didn't even live in this state, came up here and killed people, talking about he was protecting the businesses from the Black Lives Matter movement and killed people, and they didn't do anything to him. And I'm like, you know, this is getting out of hand. And I have to pray, friends, and pray for me, because this is just not right. This is not right. 19 years old, and she's dead. He chopped her up in pieces. Can you imagine that? I don't mean to gross you out, but that's the reality of the world we live in today. And as they used to say in show business, you ain't seen nothing yet. Most of the things that are happening, they don't even tell you about, because if they did, there would be a terrible, terrible war in America that would take place. And it is coming still, by the way. Just yesterday, I'm sorry, Friday, today's Sunday, just Friday, a new movie came out. The movie is called Civil War. Have you heard about it? The movie is about a civil war that in the marquee for the movie, it says, this is events that are soon to take place in America. They're telling you in advance. This is coming to America, a civil war. And it's interesting because the servant of the Lord told us that there will be another civil war in this country. The Christian nationalist movement say the same thing. And Donald Trump, he spoke before the National Religious Broadcasters Convention a couple of weeks ago. He said, and you can see this on YouTube, he said, there is going to be bloodshed in America. Get ready for it. He said that. He said, speaking to these people, the Christian nationalists, he said, you have power that you don't even realize. But if you elect me as president, you're going to be able to use your power like you've never used it before. And you're going to change things. We're going to change things together. He says, and there'll be retaliation against those who spoke against me. I'm going to get my revenge on them. And believe you me, there will be bloodshed. These people are lunatics. Friends, if you don't know who the Christian nationalist movement is and their plan for 2025, I'd like to know, where have you been? Where have you been that you haven't heard about this, you don't know? But these people say that we have to have a theocracy in America, a government ruled by the church under God. And, of course, they want everything to be done their way. And one of the main things they want, the main thing they want, number one, is the eradication of anybody who is not, as Hitler would say, Aryan, which means white. They don't want anybody in America. They say America belongs to the white people, and it's time to cleanse the earth. Same thing Hitler said, and they want a Sunday law. Now, they don't talk too much about the racial part. They do say it, but not as openly as they do about the other part. But the Christian nationalist movement, if you study history, and see, I'm a teacher by profession. I'm not a pastor. I never have been a pastor, elder, but I'm not a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm a lecturer. And what I do is I give lectures. I give information and show how it's relevant to the time we live in and according to Bible prophecy. I did teach Bible, though, in the academy that I taught at. But if you study history, which I do a lot on my own just for interest and to see how it fills out prophecy, you will know that everything that Donald Trump says in terms of the United States and bringing it back to greatness again, you know, MAGA, Make America Great Again, right, and all these things he says, if you go back to the 1930s, late 1930s, there was a man by the name of Adolf Hitler. He said the same thing, the exact same thing. And did you know what the Nazi Party was? It was a nationalist movement. I don't know how to say it in German. I can speak a little German, but not that much. But it's nationalist, I can't even say it all. But basically, it's a nationalist movement. And did you know that the Nazi Party believed that what they were doing was the will of God? Did you know that? They said they were Christians. Most people don't know this because they don't talk about it in your school books. They don't mention that part. The Nazi soldiers, they wore a belt buckle, a special belt buckle, and that belt buckle had embossed in it, you know, it was stamped in the metal, the words Gott meint uns, G-O-T-T-M-I-T-U-N-S, Gott meint uns. And Gott mit uns means God with us. They believe that their movement was sanctioned by God himself, by Jesus Christ. And what they were doing was the will of God, and there was nothing wrong with it. And that's the same thing that these people think today. I told people 6, 7, 8 years ago, I said, you watch out for Donald Trump, because that man is a revitalized Adolf Hitler. That's all he is. You better watch him. He's cunning, he's slick, and he has the same plan that Hitler did. Hitler wrote a book called Mein Kampf. Well, he didn't really write it, but somebody did. But the book, Mein Kampf, means my plan. It says it means my life. It means my plan. And if you read it, and you know most people won't read it because it's in German, but you can get it translated into English. And his platform, what he was going to do to change the Weimar Republic and reestablish Germany's power in Europe, is the same thing that Trump talks about for America today. It's no different. It's step by step the same thing. And by the way, Hitler, which many people don't know, and all I'm telling you right now, you need to understand because it's going to affect you in the very near future, in a few months, when the election takes place November the 5th. They said after the election, you're going to see a change in America that you will never believe. But Hitler was a member of two occult societies. Remember, one was called the Vril Society, V-R-I-L, Vril. The other one was called the Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E. These organizations, these societies, were strictly occultic in practice. And when he would bring Nazi members or soldiers to initiate them into their service, they always had the initiations at midnight in castles that were once used for witchcraft practices. They had a tessellated floor, which is a black and white alternating floor, and they had women dressed up like fairies. They called them nymphs, and they would dance around, and they would drink, and they would say their oaths, you know, would take a dagger and shed blood, and then, of course, they would have an orgy. And this was the indoctrination practice, which they got, by the way, when you talk about the SS, you know, which is a stormtrooper, the special elite forces of the Nazi Party, the SS was established and functioned on the pattern of the Jesuit order. Himmler, who's the one who set up the SS, he believed that the best way to have a effective secret military police had to be established on the principles of the Jesuit order, and that's exactly what he did. There's a book called The Occult Right by J.H. Brennan. He breaks that point out very clearly. And Time Life Books is where I got a lot of information from, tells me a lot of the other things I just mentioned too. You can buy the books if you want to and read it, and they'll tell you lots of information. And I also have several videos that go into the history of the Nazi Party movement and everything, and it's really something. But what does that all have to do with you and I today is the question. Because, my friends, there's going to be so many things that are going to happen and are happening right now that you're going to have to make up your mind whose side you're going to be on. Now, remember, I told you the Nazi Party was established on occultism, okay? But most people don't know what occultism is, or spiritualism, whatever you want to call it. They don't know what it is. They think it's sleight of hand. They think it's, you know, fake forgery. It's tricks. No, it's not. When you see a magician, most people think, oh, you know, it's pretty slick. He's got a little secret box and, you know, a little escape hatch here and things like that. Well, that's some of them. But the ones who really practice true magic, that's not what they're doing. It's not sleight of hand. It's not tricks. They have the power of Satan. And what they do, what we would call, the Bible tells us in Revelation 16, they perform miracles. These are the spirits of devils working miracles. It's those three unclean spirits like frogs. That's what they're doing. I have seen magicians. This was on America's Got Talent. They had this guy in one time. And I watch it, I like to see people sing and things like that. And this was years ago. And this one guy, he called himself Special Head. And he started humming. He was sitting cross-legged, and he started humming this weird sound. And everybody was looking like, what's he doing? All of a sudden, the smoke, poof, and he's gone. And everybody in the audience, thousands of people, they're like, whoa, what happened? And the judge is like, what in the world? And then he rematerializes in another part of the stage. And they thought it was a joke that he faked that. He said, no, I can do this. And then he shows a video of him out in the public. He's on the ground, and he starts doing it. And then he disappears in a puff of smoke. And then all of a sudden you see him in a building five stories up. This is like in a second. He's up there. And they said, how does he do that? He said, you got to get the power. And friends, I'm telling you, we're going to see things like that. We've been told that. We've been warned about this, that these demonic powers are going to work and they're going to do things that you and I can't explain. And if we don't know what God has to say about this, we're going to be deceived. And what is the purpose of all this? It's going to be to turn our minds away from God and to follow after the devil. But the sad part about it is we've been warned about it and people aren't paying attention to what God has to say. Now, sister, you read something tonight that I've got to comment on. Before I go any further, she read from The Great Controversy, the chapter, which is Liberty of Conscience Threatened, and it talked about how the Sunday people, the Sunday movement, is blaming Adventists or Christians, Sabbath keepers, for the calamities that are taking place in the world, and they're going to get worse. And they said that unless Sunday is strictly enforced, then God will not bless this nation again. Let me read something to you. Tell me if you heard this before. This is taken from a publication called The Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath by Howard B. Rand, Destiny Publishers, Merrimack, Massachusetts, okay? And I'm reading page 20 of this article. And this is what it says. I'm going to read the last paragraph of the article. I could read the whole thing, but no, it would take too long. But he gives a summary, okay? And this is what he says. It is not the duty of any particular group of people. It is not the duty of any church. It is the duty of the government of his people to thus proclaim a day as the Sabbath to be uniformly observed throughout the length and breadth of our land. And then the last part, listen to this very carefully. He says, thus Sunday, nationally selected to be observed as the Sabbath, following 6 days of labor, complies with the requirements of the fourth commandment. We hold, now listen to this, listen, wake up. We hold that the Sabbatarians are definitely responsible for contributing to the increased desecration of this national appointed Sabbath day. And what does he mean by that? He goes on to say this. It spells the collapse of the entire world economy, and the palaces of the money exchanges will be consumed, and all business operations will be in complete shambles. This is the price to be exacted from our nation for the refusal of our people to keep holy the Lord's Day, and for the failure of those in authority to enforce its strict observance. Great Controversy 5-9. That's exactly what Great Controversy said. And Great Controversy was written in 1884. Did you know that? It was called Volume 4 of Spirit of Prophecy originally. The very words that Ellen White said that they will use, this man uses it in his publication. This publication came out in 1981. I've had it since then. I've been sharing this with people that I traveled across the United States. I made videos and I included it in there. It's been translated into several languages around the world for people to read this and understand this. And yet, you don't hear anybody in the churches, the pastors, not talking about it. Why are they quiet? When the devil is saying, I know exactly who I'm going to go get. I'm going to get those Sabbath keepers. You see, they said Sabbatarians because it's not just Seventh-day Adventists. Anybody who keeps the seventh-day Sabbath, you're a target for these people. Now, friends, what does it have to do with a made-up mind? You've got to make a decision. Are you going to stand firm for Jesus, or are we going to crumble when the heat comes on? Because, see, the pressure's not on yet, but when it comes, it's going to hit us. Friends, God has given us a message to share with the world. My time is going too fast. I'm running out of time already. Okay, so I have a few things I want to share with you. Let me try to get to them right away. When we talk about the idea of made-up mind, did you know the word mind is used 92 times in the Bible? Mind, the word mind, M-I-N-D, okay? And in almost every instance that it is used, it's referring to making a decision or coming or arriving to a conclusion either by your experience or by the information that you have received. You make your mind up, you decide, you conclude something based on either your experience or by the information or knowledge that you gain. And so that's what it means to make up your mind. And, of course, there are many instances in the Bible where people had to make up their mind to take a stand. We know, for example, Daniel did it in the court of the king when he was told to eat a certain food, and his friends as well. Daniel also had to make up his mind when he was told that he couldn't pray to any other god except to the king for 30 days. And he said, nope, I'm going to do what I've always done. Adam and Eve made up their mind, and, of course, they made the wrong decision. You see, you can make up your mind to do the wrong thing, not always necessarily the right thing. So you have to understand the issues. And that's the problem with many Christians today. They don't understand the issues. They really don't. Because if they did, a lot of things that they do and a lot of things they support and a lot of things they stand for, they would leave it alone right away if they really understood what it really meant. And, of course, one, the most perfect example we have is Jesus himself. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, exactly that Jesus made up his mind that he would go all the way through to the death on the cross for you and I. He made up his mind, the Bible says. And we need to have that mind like Jesus did, to humble ourselves and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because Jesus says, if you love me, what did he say? He said, take up your cross and follow me daily. You have to do it every day. You don't do it one day and that's it. It's every day. You have to make that decision, my friend. We have to get on our knees and say, Lord, I choose to follow you today. Please put my cross on. Let me grab my cross. I want to follow you wherever you want to take me. And we have to be willing to do that every single day. All right, friends, so making up the mind. What is the message that God wants us to give? We're told that we have a special message. As Seventh-day Adventists, we have a special message to give to the world, and that message is the three angels' message. found in Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Am I right? Of course. And the admonition for that is found in the book Early Writings, page 118. Okay? And then it says this. Well, let me read this first part. The three angels' message separates the people of God from Babylon and reveals the righteousness of Christ. The third angel's message is the gospel message for the last days. So if anybody comes and tells you, well, you talk about three angels' message, you need to preach the gospel. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the angel preaches the everlasting gospel. It says, I saw another angel come down from heaven, everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the face of the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of water. That's the everlasting gospel, my friends. The first duty is to worship God. Second thing is to recognize that we're in the judgment hour. Third thing, to escape Babylon. You have to make up your mind. Are you going to worship God and him and him alone? What does it mean to worship God, to fear God? What does it mean to fear God? If you want to know what it means, go and read the story of Abraham when he got ready to sacrifice his son. And when he got ready to do that, and when the angel told him, stop, stop, we know the angel was Jesus.
Oh.
He said, stop. And he said, now I know that Abraham fears God. That's what it means to fear God. Obey him even when it doesn't seem to make sense, even when it seems contrary to what he says to do, because God said, thou shalt not kill. But he told him to kill his son, sacrifice him. Abraham could have said, Lord, you said I'm not supposed to kill, but I'm not going to do that. That's a violation of your law. No, God, the Lord told him to do it, and he did, and he was ready to do it. Oh, my friends, do you think it was easy for him to do that? Do you think he said, okay? No, he did it, but he struggled. It was a battle, but he made up his mind, I'm going to obey God, the Lord, no matter what. And Ellen White, commenting on that, she says, he knew that if it was possible, the Lord could resurrect his son, and so he went forward and did it. Well, he got ready to do it. And that's where you and I have to be. When the Lord says, go, do this, do that. But, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Why should Don't question. Just do it. And God will work things out. That's fearing God. All right, listen, friends. Listen to this. The third angel's message is the gospel message for the last days. And in no case, listen again, in no case is to be overshadowed by other interests and made to appear an unessential consideration. In other words, nothing else takes precedent over the giving of the three angels' message. Nothing else. So when you go to church and they have Pathfinder Sabbath, when they have Pastor Appreciation Sabbath, when they have Father's Day Sabbath, the Mother's Day Sabbath, or any other kind of Sabbath that is not worship of the true living God, which is his holy day, it's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, you are violating the true worship of God. You've substituted another God for the true and living God. Let's be very clear on this. The substitution, and that's a new God you're worshiping. It's a false God. You're not worshiping the true God of heaven. It says this, when in our institutions, anything, that is an unequivocal statement. In other words, you can't change this. When in our institutions, anything is placed above the third angel's message, the gospel is not there, which is the great leading power. Did you catch that? If they do anything, they put anything above the preaching of the third angel's message, they're not giving the gospel. I don't care what they say. Well, God has seen this. Now, let me read on. This gets deeper. And Ellen White's coming and she says, then I saw the third angel, said my company angel, fearful is his work, awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. What? Yes, you heard that. The third angel's message separates the wheat from the tares. People always say, you don't say anything about the church, don't do that about the church. The wheat and the tares grow together to the harvest, and the harvest is at the end of the world, and the angels are doing separation. Yes, it's the three angels' message, and that's taking place right now. And who gives that message? You and I. Remember, the word angel means messenger. It's not talking about a heavenly being. It's talking about God's people. As they go and give God's message, it separates people from the false if they heed it and they go to the true. And so when you talk about separating wheat from the tares, this is what the three angels' message will do. And you will soon find out who's the wheat and who's the tare, because those who heed the message, they're the precious grain. Those who don't want to accept it is the chaff. And another thing you have to remember is this, excuse me, and that is that we're told in, I believe it's Volume 3 Testimonies, the chapter, the message to the Laodicean church, we're told that it, what causes the shaking, which is what the three angels' message will do, it says, she said, it's the message that's given, that's called forth by the true witness found in the book of Revelation to the Laodicean church. Do you understand that what is going to shake people out of the truth? Now, remember, when she says, when Ellen White uses the word church, she's not talking about a structured system. She's talking about people who claim to be God's people. That's who she's talking about, okay? So don't get it confused and say, well, that person is no longer a member of the church, so they left the church, they got shaken out. No, they can be, they're sitting in the pew teaching false doctrine. They've been shaken out. They don't hold to the truth anymore. Because Maranatha, oh, I'm sorry, the upward look tells us plainly, I believe it's page 315, it is not the great cathedrals, neither is it the national establishment, neither is it the various denominations. That is plain and simple. She said it is the people who love God, who endeavor to keep all his commandments, for where the humble few are, there, if Christ is in the midst of them, that is his church. Two or three are gathered in his name. Christ says, there am I in the midst of them. That's his church. If you get together with a group of people on Sabbath or Wednesday night prayer meeting, two or three of you, and you all get together and you worship God, you're in church. You understand that? The word church, ecclesia, means called out, those who are called out to come away from worldliness, my friends. Don't forget that. When we got our definitions all messed up today. I'm so glad I took English courses when I was in university. I took a lot of advanced English class, even though that wasn't my major, but I liked studying English, especially etymology, which is the origin of words and language, et cetera. And that's why I try to learn how to speak different languages. So when I see people, talk to them in a language a little bit, and they get surprised. They say, are you from such and such? No, I'm not. I'm from San Diego, California. And I'll talk to Spanish people. I'll go in a restaurant, and I'll order my food in Spanish, and I'll, you know, talk to them, and I'll tell them, have a nice day. And they say, are you from Cuba? Are you from Puerto Rico? Are you from the Dominican Republic? No, I'm from San Diego, born and raised. Oh, you sound like one of us. You have perfect pronunciation. I say, well, I just like to do languages. I think it's fun. But I took English because I wanted to learn the power of words. You know, God, when God created everything, what did he do? How did he create? He spoke. It was words that he used. Are you following me? He just spoke it, and it happened. That's the power in God's word. You understand? You see, he didn't move his hand some fancy gestures and all that stuff. He just said, let there be light. And there was. Three, the sun, the moon, the stars, boom, there they were. Millions and billions and trillions of them. We don't even know how many. We can never count. Universe is too big. We cannot count it. It's impossible. And when you look up in the stars at night, my friends, I want you to remember something. When you look up at night and you see a star, that is not a star you see. That's a galaxy. Inside that light you see are probably millions or maybe even billions of stars from a cluster. And there's millions and billions of them in the sky. When you look up, all you see is a little bit. But you could travel all around the world. They're all around us. All around us. And there's some of them that are so far away, we can't even see the light coming from them. It takes a long time to get here. The universe is so big that it's incomprehensible. We cannot fathom it. It's just so big. And the Lord spake all that, and it just came. That's the kind of power he has. And so when the Lord tells you and I, go and sin no more, his power is in his word. The power to overcome sin is accepting his word. Are you following me? Don't ever say you cannot get the victory over sin because you're trying to call God a liar. And that's a pretty dangerous thing to be doing. God says, go and sin no more. I want you, he says, be perfect as I am perfect. That's a command, and that command has power in it. What you have to do, what I have to do is say, Lord, I accept the power of your word that you're going to make me like that because you have said that you would be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So be confident of this very thing. We have to accept what God says. Now, friends, getting back to this, So the three angels' message is going to do separation, okay? And it says here that nothing else should engross the whole mind or the whole attention. Earlier on this page 118, the three angels' message. This is very, very important. Now, we have to make up our mind, where are we going to stand? Where are we going to stand? There are things that are transpiring all around us today that we need to be aware of. And friends, one of the things that we have to be aware of is that in this special time we're living right now, the sealing is taking place. The sealing of God's people is taking place right now. And my question is, are you ready to be sealed? We always talk about getting ready for Jesus to come. We need to get ready for the judgment. We need to get ready for our name to be called up and then to be, the books are open in heaven, and to, that we pass the test, that we don't come off as false witnesses. That's what we need to be ready for, the judgment. So Sister White says, we need to take this very seriously. So many of us are saying, oh, I can't wait for Jesus to come. Get ready for Jesus to come. Get ready for Jesus to come. You're not getting ready for Jesus to come if you're not getting ready for the judgment. Because it's the judgment that determines whether you get to spend eternity with him or not. You follow me? It's the judgment. Just like the children of Israel. If they did not participate in the Day of Atonement, they were kicked out of the camp. They were booted. Are you following? Okay? And this is it's true for us today, my friend. Okay? We have to be ready. What is the seal of God? 4 BC, page 1161 says, is the settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so that you cannot be moved. You got a made-up mind, see? You cannot be moved. You know the truth. You stand by it, and nothing will make you change your mind. This is what Elijah did on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. He called the people and says, choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, worship him. But if Baal, then worship him. And what did the children of Israel say? Remember, he told Ahab, you tell all the children of Israel, come to me on Mount Carmel. And he stood and asked that question. And the Bible says they answered him not a word. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Friends, have you ever stopped to think about the dynamic that was taking place when he said that to these people? If the Lord is God, then worship him. But if Baal, worship him. Choose you this day. And they didn't answer. They didn't say anything. They stood there dumbfounded. Why would they do that? They know about all the history that God had done for the children of Israel, leading them out of Egyptian slavery and Babylonian captivity. They knew all this stuff of Babylonian captivity. They knew they were going to be set free pretty soon out of Babylon. They knew that. They knew how God delivered them from the Assyrians and all the rest, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, all of them, the battles they've had. They knew that God provided manna for them for 40 years in the wilderness and water as well. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. And they didn't get sick. And the Bible says there was not one feeble person among them. None of them got sick and none of them were weak. They were all strong and vigorous. And yet, when it came time to take a stand, they couldn't even say, the Lord is God. We know this. Friends, this is the same thing. I'm going to tell you right now. It's the same thing that's happening today. It's the same thing. Question, how did the children of Israel not know the difference? Baal worship is what Ahab and his evil, wicked, whorish wife, Jezebel, brought upon the people. And she killed the prophets of God, remember? And when Elijah stood up there, don't you think that the children of Israel said, this is our man right here. He's standing for the truth. Let's back him up. No, they were afraid to stand for truth, friends. They were afraid to stand for truth, just like with Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus was preaching and teaching and healing and feeding among his own people, the people he had called to be a light to the world, the people who were supposed to teach the world about the wonderful, marvelous nature of God, and yet they didn't. And the leaders, we're told in the book Desire of Ages, the leaders of Israel, Sister White says, and the Bible makes it clear, because Jesus even said, and so did John the Baptist, that they were doing the work of their father, the devil. They had become the agents of Satan. And I'm going to tell you right now, you might not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because I can back it up. It's no different today. The leadership are the agents of Satan. Why do I say that? because of what they do, because of what they practice, and because of what they fail to do when they should be standing for truth, they're not. They're standing for wickedness. They're aligning themselves with wickedness. We talked about the Christian nationalists. I'm telling you right now, the leadership of the church, they're going along with that. I'm telling you that right now. How do I know that? Because, number one, the Bible says they're going to do it, and number two, Spirit of Prophecy says it very clearly. And, you know, they keep telling you, wait until the image of the beast, wait till the image of the beast, and then you take your stand. It's too late if you wait. They say, well, when the Sunday law comes, that's when you got to really stand up and be counted. And, friends, if you wait till then, it's too late. You will go along with it. I'm telling you that right now. You know why? Because you're being programmed already to do it. You're being insidiously hypnotized to go along with a system that is going to turn its back on God. I'm not making this up. I can't make it up. I don't wish I was making it up. That's not right. I wish that it wasn't true. Let's put it that way. I wish that I could say, oh, you know what? I was wrong. I apologize. I'll take it back. But I can't because I know it's true. I know it's true. You can't make up your mind unless you have the information or by experience. Those two things give you the facts that you need to know where you should how you should take your stand. Okay, I got a few minutes, and I want to share a few things with you now in the last few minutes we have here. I think we have 15 minutes left. And, man, I think I'm going to do a part three, sister, to be honest with you. Okay? Now, as we go to 1 Kings chapter 18, you actually have to go to the book of Ezekiel as well. And this is a familiar text. Everybody knows Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. And this is the warped mindset, okay? The warped mindset of the leaders of Israel and the people. As we know, and also if you read Ezekiel chapter 7, it talks about the image of jealousy, okay? So if you have your Bible, you can take a look at that. What is the image of jealousy that was set up that God hated? That's what is called an obelisk. We call them obelisks today. Okay, it's also talked about in the book of Jeremiah as well. And those things represent the phallus of the sun god. And you know what that means. You look up the word phallus and you'll see. God hates that. He hates it. He says it. He said, I hate that thing. But we also find that the women and the children were weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz was the son of the sun god, which is Nimrod of ancient Babylon. They were weeping for him because he had gotten killed. And then the Lord takes prophet Ezekiel, and he takes him to Jerusalem, takes him to the temple, and he goes inside. He takes him inside the temple, and he takes him in the inner court, and inside the building, there's a hole in the wall, and he tells him to dig this hole. And he digs this hole, and he tells him to look inside of there. So he looks in the hole, and what does he see? He sees carvings on the wall, paintings of all these strange creatures, these bugs and animals on the wall, but they were symbolic of demon gods, and they were in there worshiping these things. Who was doing this? These were the priests of the Lord. They were the supposed men of God in Israel worshiping dark forces in God's house. They weren't outside. They had a secret room that they built inside the temple to worship the devil. In the house. And friends, I'm going to tell you right now, it is happening today. It is happening today. I'll show you. Just hold on. Okay? You think I'm making this up? No, I'm not. Brothers and sisters, we need to be wide awake. If you love God, as you say you do, if you love the people, as you say you do, you will not hold your voice and not warn them. God said you are to warn the people from him, to turn from their wicked ways. We're told that if we have love, we say, well, I love the Lord and I love his people and I don't want to hurt anybody, offend anybody. Do you know what the servant of the Lord says about love? He said, true love seeks first the honor of God and the salvation of souls. If you don't have that kind of love that you would dare to speak out against sin and corruption and vice and all these things that are in the church and in the lives of people, even ourselves, we don't, get rid of it, then you have no love for God. You have no love for the people. He said, that's hatred. That's cowardice. We're supposed to cry aloud and spare not. Do you know that you cannot receive the seal of God unless you do that, unless you cry aloud and spare not? lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people the transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Do you realize you cannot receive this little God if you don't do that? Everybody wants to say, oh, it's just keeping the Sabbath. No, you're not keeping the Sabbath if you don't do that. How do I know? Because Ellen White says that we have to be like Nehemiah, who called for Sabbath reform. What did Nehemiah do? What did Nehemiah do that was so important that she used him as an example of God's faithful people in these last days? Do you know? If you don't know, you better find out. Well, I'll give you a little hint. They were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah, who was a layman, by the way. And what happened was the worldly people were coming around Jerusalem on Friday evening to sell their wares. They had fish and pots and pans and all kinds of goodies. And the children of Israel were like, oh, boy, they got good stuff. Let's go out and get some on the Sabbath. And so Nehemiah went to the leadership of Israel. He said, what are you doing allowing these people to come in here and sell on God's holy day? He said, don't you know the reason why we were in the Babylonian captivity is because we refused to keep the law of the Lord our God? And so we went into captivity, and now you're doing the same thing our fathers did. Do you know what's going to happen to us if you allow this? And the Bible says they didn't say anything. They stood there looking stupid. Hate to use that term, but that's what they did. They didn't say, you know what, brother, you're right. You're right, brother. All right, we'll get this straightened out right now. No, they didn't do that. Nehemiah took it upon himself. He went up to the wall, and he yelled down to them. He said, close the gate. Get them out of here. Told these people. These were not Christians. These were not Sabbath keepers. He said, I told you, don't you come around here anymore on the holy Sabbath day. You don't come back here until after the sun sets tomorrow night. If you come before then, I don't even want you hanging around here. Don't even come here and camp out here waiting. I don't want to see you. And he told them, he said, if you come around here again, I will lay hands on you. Read this right in the Bible. This is what Nehemiah told them. What does it mean to lay hands on them? He means I'm gonna physically deal with you. Laying hands on them means he's going to fight them. And remember, as they were building the wall, the Bible says with one hand they worked and the other hand they kept on a weapon. Everybody that was building that wall, they had a weapon. They kept it on their side and they kept their hand on it, signifying at any moment they're ready to fight to defend God's church, his people. They were ready. They weren't playing games. It was serious business. That's Sabbath reform. He said, he reformed the Sabbath. We got to keep the Lord's Sabbath the way we're supposed to. And that's the way it should be today. All this foolishness that goes on in the church on Sabbath, the dancing and the parading around, and wearing these ghost masks and all this kind of, this is ridiculous. Hip-hop dancing on the Sabbath and the pulpit, well, they don't call it pulpit anymore, stage, it's a stage now. Have you seen that stuff? They're playing Janet Jackson's music. They're playing Vanilla Ice, the white guy, Vanilla Ice. They're playing his music on Sabbath, and they're dancing to it on the Sabbath in the church, friends. Not afternoon program, 11 o'clock service. They have another group that's called Naughty by Nature. This is back in the 80s, I think, or early 90s, somewhere around in here. And they play the actual music. This is the actual music, and they're dancing to it in the house of God. And the people, but they change the word and try to say, you know, it's about Jesus. They just change the words, but it's the same music. And if the young people, they know this stuff. So where do you think their mind goes when they hear that? Do you think they're singing the gospel version? There is no gospel version. Do you think they are? No. They're thinking about the music that they know. And so their minds have been warped. They've been led astray, just like the children of Israel back in those days. Friends, I'm telling you, people are being set up to make up a mind that is not in harmony with the will of God. You know, the Bible tells us, I'm running out of time, and I'm trying to stay too much, I'm going to slow down. The Bible tells us that we, people are going to receive the seal of God in their forehead. This is also found in Revelation 17, also found in Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. And the only people that receive that seal, remember this, Ezekiel chapter 9, which Ellen White says we are to study that chapter, she said, because it will be literally fulfilled. The only ones who get that seal are the ones that sign cross for all the abominations that are done in the church, in the land. That's the only ones who get it. It doesn't say you're a Sabbath keeper. It says you sign cross for the abominations that are done there. Are you following me? if you don't open your mouth and say something to warn God's people, remember, when Jesus sent the disciples out, where did he tell them to go? He said, go not the way the Gentiles or the way the Samaritans. Go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wait a minute. How could the house of Israel be lost sheep? Where was this? Didn't they have a shepherd? Didn't they have these priests and rulers who knew all the things that they're supposed to do? No, because they became agents of the devil. And Ellen White says, Jesus came to sweep away that structure. Oh, but they said, no, that can't happen because God had promised us that the throne of David would be forever. Israel will never be destroyed. Israel is going to go through. This ship is going to go through. Is that what happened? No. Because there's a condition they had to meet, and they did not meet that condition. Just like today, the church, if it does not meet the conditions of God, Sister White says, no matter high and holy the calling of the church is, if it does not obey God, it says others are then chosen to bear important responsibilities. It's that simple. Look at what happened with Jesus' day, friends. When Jesus walked this earth, when he had the disciples, what did he tell them? On the day of the Passover, he said, prepare the Passover. Did he go to church to do Passover? No, he did it at home. Why didn't he go to church and do it? Why didn't he go to the temple? Because he was setting up a different system. He was independent ministry. He was what they would call offshoot. But in reality, he is the true church. We have to understand that. Jesus is the true church, not a system. He only uses a system to help facilitate the giving of his message. But when that system fails, he says, I got to start something else. That one doesn't work anymore. It's the end of it. And we know that happened in A.D. 70. That was the end. Actually, it was before then. When they stoned Stephen, that was the end. But the judgment was not a little bit later to give, as Sister White says, for those who hadn't had a chance to hear the gospel, the young people, gave them a chance to hear. Then once that generation heard it, then God's judgment fell. Now, friends, several important things are happening in the world today, and we need to be aware of that. And that, what I'm talking about now is just the church, but I did mention the Christian nationalist movement. Keep your eye on that. That movie came out Friday called Civil War, and in that movie they say that this is a dramatization of what is soon to happen in America. And they didn't say this is a make-believe. They said this is what is going to soon happen in America. I don't know if you know anything about the movie, but essentially you can get the synopsis and read it. You can even see a trailer of it on YouTube. Just type in Civil War, and they'll show you like a minute and a half clip, and it explains what's going on. Texas and California want to leave the Union. They call that the Western Alliance. And then states and other parts of the U.S. want to split up from it. So the government says, we're not going to let you do that. So they declare war on them. So there's a civil war taking place. And so the story goes on, and I don't know what else is after that. There's some journalists are there, and they're trying to find some secret thing that's going on behind the scenes. And I don't tell you what it is. They just said there's something, and they got to get back to Washington, D.C. to expose this secret thing and whatever is going on. But nevertheless, they say that this is supposed to be a true message. And again, if you go to YouTube and type in Trump's speech to the Religious Broadcasters Association, you will hear him talk about that. He says it. Out of his own mouth, he said there is going to be bloodshed in America. He's talking about civil war. He said it as plain as I'm talking to you now. He says it. And he doesn't mince words. He said, there will be bloodshed. He said it. And these people are cheering, yeah. You know, because that's what the Nazis believed back in Hitler's day. We're going to make Germany great again. Now it's going to make America great again. What was Nazi Germany like before? Well, what was Germany like before? Complete and total control by one man, was a Kaiser. And he basically said he was a new Kaiser, but he was worse than that, as a dictator. And Trump said that he wants to be dictator of America.
Absolutely.
He wants to be, you know. So, listen, friends, if you haven't read Ezekiel chapter 9, you need, or 8, I'm sorry, you should read it. Because remember, the next thing after they saw the images in the temple, the Bible says that he took Ezekiel to the outside of the church, between the porch and the altar, and there were 25 men, that's the Sanhedrin basically, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Do you understand what that's saying? That the Sabbath-keeping people of God were in sun worship. They were worshiping the sun. But they were standing on God's church ground. Mm-hmm. And Ellen White tells us that that's going to happen in our day as well. And if you don't know where that's found, I can tell you where you can find it. You can find it in the Sabbath Review, the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald. That's for March 18th, 1884, but it's also in the book Evangelism, page 245. In the Review and Herald, if you get the bound volumes, it's on page 405, third column, three quarters of the way to the bottom of the page, the second to last paragraph. You can read that where she says it very plainly, that there are going to be men who will promote Sunday keeping, okay? Among Seventh-day Adventists, leadership, they're going to tell us it's necessary to keep the first day of the week. And the last quotation I want to read to you, I need to do another part, sister. I'm not going to finish this tonight. I got 2 minutes left. Volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 477. Page 477. It says, "Do not forget that the most dangerous snares which Satan has prepared for the church will come through its own members who do not love God supremely or their neighbors as themselves." That's where it's going to come from. We've been brainwashed to think it's going to be the baptism of the Catholics and the Episcopalians and the Muslims. No, those are not the people you got to watch out for. It's within our church. It's within the place where you go worship. And friends, let me tell you something. Next time we meet, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to let you hear how these, as it was in Elijah's day when they worshiped false gods, the same thing is happening in the Adventist church today. I'm going to let you hear the ministers pray to a demon god. I'm going to let you hear it in the church, Adventist church, where he actually prays to a demon god. You're going to hear it. Have you ever seen that goat creature that's half man, half goat, half male, half female? Have you ever seen that Baphomet? Mm-hmm. You're going to hear Adventist pastor pray to him in church on Sabbath. You're going to hear it. And he's even going to identify it as that. He's not going to use a name, but he's going to say a title of it that lets you know that's who he's praying to. And I'm not making this up. I got the tape right here, and I'm going to let you hear it for yourself. So you can't say, "Brother Cherry said, this guy's crazy. You know what he's talking about." No, you're going to hear it. I'm going to play it for you. I got it right here. The title of the message that he gave was called "Stained Glass Mothers." Campus Hill SDA Church is right here. I got it right here. And I'm also going to let you hear a message that was preached at Loma Linda Church by a man who says he's a wizard. And he tells the people that he's going to make them wizards too. After he gets through talking to them, he does something to them. And wait till you hear that. And I hope and pray that you'll come back and hear. I'm more than happy to come. And I hope and pray that what you heard tonight will get your mind stirred up and start asking questions and start looking for answers in the Word of God in the Spirit of Prophecy, bro. Because, brothers and sisters, we are running out of time. Mm-hmm. We are running out of time. May the Lord help each and every one of us to have that mind of Jesus, because the time is at hand.
Amen. Brother Cherry, are you done?
Yes, ma'am.
That concludes. Okay. Well, Brother Cherry, I'm sure all of us really appreciate this message. So we want to thank you, and we got to bring you back to complete this. We know that you had quite a bit, and you went through it, and I'm sure we took notes, but I took notes, but I'm missing so much in the notes, so it's almost as if I can't understand most of it because I'm missing so so much in port, but I got a little piece to see where I can begin, and I'm sure everyone else. So it is so powerful. You had said something earlier, but I'm not going to comment on it, but I'm just going to pray, and we just got to have you back on another Sunday to allow you to finish this. This was good. So we're going to pray right now and then let my brothers and sisters go take their rest or get themselves together, whatever they have to do. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we come before you once again, Father, to thank you for the message and placing us in truth, Lord Father, that we can hear this stuff because we ain't hearing it from no one else. But, Lord Jesus, we ask that you continue to contend with us, that we can contend with you and to hear and to get our heart right and be obedient to you, Father, because these messages, Lord, we don't know when that time that our probation is going to close. So now, Father, as we have heard this message, we ask that you bless us while we go to sleep tonight. Be with each and every one of my sisters and brothers, Lord. Keep us, help us, protect us, and just watch over us as we sleep. And when we wake up in the morning, Lord, help us to give you honor, praise, and glory. And thank you for Brother Kerry for this message again tonight, Lord. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I just thank you for being patient and listening to this. I have asked many people to come and listen to this, and I'm sure you have invited. But we're going to keep doing what we're doing and invite and let people listen. And may God bless we getting some answers to the questions we need in this world. So we just want to thank you once again. Go ahead, Brother Terry.
Yeah, just real quick. I know we didn't have time for Q&A, so I just want to offer that if anybody has a question, you can call me. I can give you my phone number, and feel free to give me a call, or you can text message me and you know, give your question or comment or whatever. I'll be more than happy to respond to you. My number is 715-491-0279. Feel free to give me a call. Remember, I'm on Central Time, and I'll be more than happy to talk with you. Okay? Thank you, sister.
Amen. Thank you once again, Brother Terry, for even having patience and time to be able to give to individuals, because sometimes it was a little fast, and we may not have caught it all, but I'm sure they appreciate it. So thank you. And I'm just saying good night, brothers and sisters. I'm going to end with this song. God bless.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know by the blood of the Lamb.